5:02, your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler with Chris Ronchi and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by NFL Insider 710 ESPN in Seattle, John Clayton at John Clayton NFL. And John, within the last half hour, we know that Raheem Mostert, the running back for the 49ers, who basically carried them into the Super Bowl with his performance in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay, he has requested a trade. Does he really want out, or is this just a leverage play for Raheem Mostert?
No, he wants out. And I think what you're seeing now is everybody talks about the Super Bowl hangover, particularly teams that lose in the Super Bowl. I mean, that hangover is getting even worse right now for the 49ers because, remember, Matt Breida wasn't real happy. They traded him to Miami. Now, Mostert, who, he knows that you've got Jarrett McKinnon coming back. You know, they have, Coleman still there. But, I think the fact that they're not wanting to redo his contract, puts him in a position where he wants out because he does want more money because he figures that he has a decent chance to be the starter. But the problem is, it's like, I don't know, other than maybe Tampa Bay, what other teams are looking for any type of running backs. So he's not making a lot right now. He wants to make more, but he wants out. But where I go, Super Bowl hangover, look at all the things that have happened to them, this offseason. Dee Ford, the defensive end, he had massive surgery on his knee. Not an ACL, but he had a lot of surgeries onto one knee. He should be okay, but then you still got Kwam Alexander. He's fighting a pec surgery, so that's not good. You have two Jones fractures on the team, one being Deebo Samuel, who's probably going to miss 2 to 3 months, and they may not be there for the start of the regular season. Then, they had a cornerback that suffered one, and they cut him. Waved him injured. They got a wide receiver, Richie James, who's their kick returner. He got a broken wrist, and so he's going to miss some time. They had to trade DeForest Buckner so they can get Tariq Armstead in there. And so really, you're starting to see a lot of things going wrong. I mean, four key injuries, and then to make matters worse, 17 offensive players went to Nashville to work out and do things together. One player got the virus, and we don't know how many of the other players got the virus. So it's now the Super Bowl hangover time, and a lot of things going wrong.
Yeah, losing the Super Bowl sucks. And again, to the winner go the spoils, because that's been the biggest news in the sports world, is Patrick Mahomes and his contract. It's the largest contract just in terms of dollars in sports, which is impressive. I just want to know your initial reaction to this, John, when you heard about the news of the Mahomes contract coming down.
I was stunned how big the contract was until I finally saw what the contract was. Yeah. And really, when you look at it, it's a $45 million deal that's really a $39.8 million deal because of the way he was generous enough in being able to make it a team-friendly type of deal. And so you look at the breakdown, he was scheduled to make $27.2 million over the first 2 years of his existing contracts, because he had the 50-year option next year, he had the base salary, or he had the salary this year, and so it stays the same cap number. It stays the same amount of money. And so what you're looking at is $45 million a year for 10 years. But in the first year, I mean, when you take the first 3 years, it's $39.3 million. And if you're saying he's locked himself up under a contract that is team friendly, it really works out to be $39.8 million because it's $477 million and $2.2 million, and then you break that over 12 years, he locked himself in at a big number of 45, but it's really 39.8. And so what you can probably see, if you're Deshaun Watson, you're not going to equal that. You're probably going to have to take less than 39. And if you're going to be Dak Prescott, you probably got to take about 35. And then 4 years from now, you come back and you try to do some kind of an extension that can top the $45 million number. But again, Dak was smart in doing it this way because, he knew that the cap is going to be tight next year, and it's going to be one that may go down, not up. But regardless, you don't want to eat up cap room, so you want to keep the team together. He gave his team a fixed cost of where his cap number is going to be now through basically the rest of his career, and he put himself in a position where, I think Russell Wilson will jump in 2014, and then Watson and a couple others will jump in later on. But interesting deal, but the $45 million is really more $39.8 million.
So what's the likelihood then that Mahomes, he plays out this entire contract?
I don't see why he wouldn't. I mean, because you know, I think that, you know, he wants to stay. Because remember, I think he's almost taken the same tact as Tom Brady. Because, you know, Brady, after his $18 million a year contract in 2010, was taking less than what he should have gotten on the market, because he should have been the highest paid quarterback every time he did a deal, but he took less. In this case, I mean, he's giving a fixed cost to the Chiefs to be able to do it. But what's interesting is they gave a trade back, in a sense, on the guarantees. Like, for example, you know, you have to, for the first 5-6 years of the contract, you know, you start to execute the guaranteed roster bonuses of over $20 million, and he can get that, you know, as early as, say, March, if he's on the roster, and obviously he's going to be on the roster. So he's always, for the first 5-6 years of the contract, you know, he's always knows his guarantees are going to be taken care of. And then after about the sixth year, you know, it's 1 year in advance, and then finally toward the end of the contract, it's a year by year thing. But again, it's, you know, when you have a contract like that, it's guaranteed until you know, are on the roster and meet that criteria. You know, technically it's not guaranteed, but the 2 year thing was kind of interesting because we haven't seen one like that.
NFL insider with 710 ESPN in Seattle, John Clayton, joining us right now on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN at John Clayton NFL is his Twitter handle. John, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Washington is planning to remove all Native American imaging. How much did that have to do with the fact that FedEx, who owns the naming rights to Washington Stadium, they were first to publicly request a name change? You saw Nike and Amazon, other outlets, they pulled Washington merchandise from the stores. How much was that impacted with Daniel Snyder's decision?
Yeah, there's no question. He has to do it now, and everything has worked against him. You know, he's got three minority owners that want out and are trying to sell and want the name change, including, you know, Fred Smith, who runs FedEx. And, you know, that's a $205 million 20-year deal as far as that goes. No more Nike. You know, no more Pepsi. You've got the city of D.C. That's taken the position. It's like, okay, you want a new stadium. We're not going to do it if you keep the Redskin name. And so that's not going to work out. I mean, now they're taking every Redskin item out of Target, you know, out of Amazon. You know, they're not going to be able to get anything there. So now you're going to lose, you know, marketing revenue that you could have from any type of thing sold. And so he has to come up with a new name, and he has to come up with it fast. And so he basically was in a position where he had no chance to be able to keep the name. Everything financially and everything else is now working against him.
Follow the money, right? It's always the case, John. And I'm following the money here when it comes to NFL players not wanting 35% of their salary going into an escrow account. John, how is this going to work out between the NFLPA and the NFL?
They should work it out, because, you know, all this is negotiating back and forth. I mean, you noticed a week ago that the players complained about some of the things that was in the protocol for training camp. Well, they got that resolved last night, and everything's been agreed upon. You know, in this case, you've got a couple of loose items right now that have to be resolved. You know, the players are taking the position. It's like, hey, let's put our efforts into trying to get ready for the regular season and not worry about the two preseason games. And because they had a joint committee working for both sides that said you need to shorten the preseason. But what they're looking at is that if you play two preseason games, you're going to see a big escalation like it was in 2011 of torn ACLs, of Achilles tears. There was a 44% increase in hamstring injuries. And so you're going to get a lot of injured players that don't have to do that because, again, they've had no off-season program. And the injuries were significantly more back in 2011 when there was no off-season program because of the lockout. So they're taking that into account. You know, they want a longer ramp-up period. So they got the 47 days to get ready for the season. Now, the coaches certainly want to see the players on the field to see who they want to keep and who they don't want to keep. But also, is it worth it to risk it with the virus, with injuries and everything else? So that has to be resolved. The escrow thing, you know, that's one where they're trying to really work on next year's cap. That's rejected and not going to go because, you know, the owner, they can say, well, the owners, we're going to lose some money here. Yeah, you're going to lose $3 to $3.5 billion of revenue, but also you can't complain too much because, you know, you do have, from the three teams that are moving to new stadiums this year, $165 million of money that comes in. It doesn't count against the cap. So that covers a little bit of stuff, and then you can want to slowly figure out how to rebuild things as far as, you know, getting some revenue back. So that's just a negotiation more than it is a war.
You've got teams like the Chiefs and the Ravens today that were making announcements. They're working on getting the stadiums prepared for having fans in them, but having a limited capacity in both buildings. I know a lot of other teams are, or at least some other teams are considering the same thing. How many teams are going to do this where they have people in the building, but it's not at full capacity?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, because, again, it's going to be up to the teams and the facilities and what's going to be there for the areas that they're doing. Like, for example, Buffalo has said no Bills games where you're going to have fans in the stands. I mean, Detroit seems to be, you know, a team that might do that same 20%, and it's going to be, you know, really a team-by-team thing to be able to figure it out. And still, you know, we don't know what the municipality is going to say about having fans in the stands. So that one's still to be determined, but, of course, it's just going to take time. But, you know, you can see that the teams are trying to do the best job they can to, you know, at least maintain their base of season tickets by either, you know, giving money back this year or either putting it into next year. And so that's going to be – I still think it's going to be tough to get too many fans in the stands, but, you know, the more they can get, the merrier. I know in the preseason, I can't envision any sense where they're going to be able to get fans in the stand. That's why it might be advisable not to be able to go ahead and have those games, you know, in the preseason.
John, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, that's John Clayton, 710 ESPN in Seattle. I thought the most interesting thing, guys, that he said there was that it's likely not going to be a war between the NFL and the NFLPA, and they'll probably figure that out. I don't know how many times we had an MLB insider on during the negotiation process with the MLB and the MLBPA that said the exact opposite.
Oh, I think John's just being hopeful.
Name one.
He's being hopeful.
Specifically.
Let's
see. Who said the...
Buster only?
No, Buster only did not say that.
He's doubted whether or not the two sides would get together.
Well, he doubts if we'll play baseball.
Yeah, that too.
Everybody was hopeful at first.
Nobody was hopeful.
We all want this to get done and believe it will. You keep pointing. Anthony, the entire time during that, after John Clayton mentioned it, was just pointing at the wall and saying, scoreboard, scoreboard. Said, no, all we said was it's not going to be smooth sailing the entire time. It's not going to be, we signed this CBA and COVID be damned, we love each other. It's not how these things work. Anthony, scoreboard.
Brad Thompson. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Anthony Stoltz with the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. How do we make the Cardinals great again? That's next here on 101 ESPN.